right.
Good morning. Good morning. October 16th, 22. Got it right that time. Republic of Texas Radio. I'm Steve O'Brien. Alan Crutcher is on the line with me as well. And we're here once again on this bright and, well, it's not really bright and shiny where I'm from. You know, I'm kind of overhead. Overcast, right? Well, who knows? Maybe I can't see the weather very well. Anyways, we got a big show coming up. We're going to be talking about next week's big event, Steadfast Noon versus Grom. You know, y'all been watching that? Maybe not. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Steadfast Noon versus Grom. Dun, dun, dun. Anyways, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Andy's going to be joining us, I believe, if he can actually pull it out of his hat. And we have a kind of a busy schedule, but we'll see. Maybe we'll turn it into nothing and we'll take your phone calls. And let's just go to the alternate opener. Sam, if you would, please play it. You know, that was, song was popularized by another talk show host. His name was Limbo, Estud Limbo, right? A little left-right paradigmer, pain in the ass, arse, yay, whatever. I don't know what to say about it, Alan, except for that song kind of reminds me of what you say about my town, Fredericksburg. Good morning.
Yeehaw, y'all. Yeah. Chrissy Hines, yeah, kind of destroyed me too, because, man, she was just hot, loved the Pretenders, loved the music, and didn't like where I heard it played most of the time. I'm not a big stereo guy. You know, he kind of ruined the Pretenders for me, kind of like Donald Trump ruined the movie Clint Eastwood, you know, Every Which Way But Loose, you know. Made orangutans, you know, they were cute and funny back before Trump came on the scene, and then I just kind of got revolted with orangutans.
Yeah, I like how Chrissy was talking about, you know, the places that change, you know, the things that change. Hey, by the way, Sam, Andy's going to be calling in here any moment, or maybe not, because he might have a dead battery. He's kind of in transition right now, but he's not changing from a male to a female, or a Texan to a Ohioan, but he is moving along on a bus at high speed, or sitting in a bus station somewhere without service, without a cell phone. It'll be interesting to find out. He's on a, 36-hour journey from one place to the other to see what the heck is going on, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk to him about that. But maybe not, you know, traveling is really hard to communicate, but whatever. But back to the Pretenders, right, the song, right? And see, this is a fair use conversation when we talk about this song, right? It doesn't matter. They don't play by the rules, right? So, you know, to delude yourself that us discussing a song and playing over like 7 seconds of a song is, you know, legal. They don't follow the law anyway, so we shouldn't even try to. It gets futile, right? But Rush Limbaugh.
No, see, that kind of brings up to me. I remember back when the internet first came out, man, and everyone was looking to get, you know, instead of going out and buying an album, or I know that's an ancient word, but I still remember LPs, folks, you know, you know, Bang & Olufsen, you know, really good, high-quality, you know, stereo systems. I didn't have one. I always had roommates who had them. But, you know, but I remember when the internet came along, everyone was going on, looking, trying to get all their music free, you know. It's on the internet. It should be free. And then there was the big thing, you know, with the copyright laws and this and that, and people were going to the, basically, I guess, before it was the dark web, they were going to the dark web and finding these places where you could download your favorite music for free. You didn't have to pay the artist anything. You didn't have to buy an album, you know.
You never paid the artist anyways, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of them became fairly rich from everything that we understand. But a lot of them, you know, went down in the dumps because their managers, you know, stole everything from them. And
basic theft,
but,
yes.
But, you know, but I remember that whole internet. That was one of the first things where they were saying, you can't do that. And people were getting in trouble for visiting these websites and downloading, you know, copyrighted music. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, but then that goes down to copyright, fair use, freedom, just criminal nature of the, well, record industry, movie industry, dog-eat-dog world. You know, it's all man for themselves. And that's where the socialists come in and say that they're going to, or the communists come in. We're going to make it all fair. Everybody's the same. And, you know, you're all going to, I don't know where the balance is. I know that we're not in the balance right now. And I know that things like one of my points with the song that we played, Chrissy Hynde's song, Rush Limbaugh played that for how many years, right? And as a talker, right, the guy was a great gatekeeper out of the gate from the early clips that I heard from Rush Limbaugh. Man, it's like, well, he almost touched on, well, the control mechanism that enslaves us all, right? But he never would go there, and I'm not just talking about the
tears. He would bring you to the edge, and then he would revert and give you Democratic Republic. Yeah.
Sell you something, right? And, you know, it's kind of like, okay. And that's a kind of the gatekeeper conversation that we were having last weekend about other folks. You know, and it was sad. It was just definitely not a good thing. Was he entertaining? Yes. Was it a better place when he was alive? No. You know, I'm going to move on, man. I'm sorry.
Was he fair and balanced?
No.
He was psyops. He was fair and balanced. It's like, give you just enough to make it sound like you're telling him the truth, but you're just bringing him to the edge and never stepping off, you know? It's like, you know, I was speaking of, you know, standing on the edge. I was watching a video, and it was this bungee jumping operation, and they had a sign up there that said, why stand on the edge when you can step off? Kind of like skydiving, you know? Take the plunge.
It's
uncomfortable, but it's exciting, but it's uncomfortable, but, you know, you reach the ground and you're still alive.
And you're better for it, I guess, or something like that.
At least there's been some excitement, even though it might be scarier than hell, you know, falling from a plane from 12,000 feet, you know, until you pull that chute and it goes whoop up above you and you kind of float around. Well, that's pretty exciting, but then you got to float, then you got to land on the ground, you know, and then you finally hit the ground. I can remember the first time I did it. It was like, hell yeah, man, I'm alive. I let go of a plane and I'm alive, you know. It was
exhilarating.
It was terrifying.
Yeah, I don't know. I got a buddy of mine this week who was out for his girlfriend's happy birthday weekend. It was like fun. I guess he had a real good time, except for he jumped off of a cliff that he probably shouldn't have, because one of the guys jumped off the cliff, but instead of jumping off the cliff, he kind of dangled himself and dropped to the ground, and he's like, well, if you can do it, I can do it, and ran off the cliff and jumped high into the air. He's like, oh. he added about another 5 feet onto the jump than the other guy. Probably maybe longer, 7 feet. But, you know, it's all stupid, right? And I'd probably go with the, you know, why would you, how did you put that sign? What does it say? Why would you stand there if you could jump off?
Why stand on the edge when you can jump, when you can step off? Yeah.
Right. Isn't that today with the transvestites, right? You know, you feel like a boy, so just cut off your...
It's kind of like your cliff jumping experience, Steve. You know, I've done that my whole life. You know, lived in Arkansas, there was bluffs, and there was, you know, lakes with, you know, bluffs. And
okay.
But, you know, we always went down and looked around, and it's like, well, you're going to have to jump out a ways from the cliff, because if you just jump right next to the cliff, there's rocks right below beneath the water down there. So it's like... To do it safely and have fun, you actually had to know what you were doing. You jump out as far as you can away from the cliff face itself, and if you know what you're doing, you hit the water just fine, and man, that you thrill, and you fall, and you hit the water, and you're alive. But, you know, there was dumbasses that would just stand there and just, not jump off, but just step off the edge and land right next to the cliff, and they'd bang on a rock, and they'd, you know, be paralyzed. And to keep everyone else safe, they would put fences up along the bluff line so you couldn't jump off and have fun anymore, you know, because there are morons everywhere.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You can't legislate safety. You can't, you know, you have to rely on your own intelligence and your own ability at times, you know. There's no guarantee of complete safety anywhere in this life that we live.
Oh no, man! I read the end of a heating blanket. It said this product is wonderful and safe, and the government loves you. You know, I don't know. You're probably right.
Don't cut the tag off your pillow. It's a federal offense. You know, it's like do not put this pillow on a campfire and attempt to sleep with your head on it. You know.
Yeah. It's a government offense. That's too bad. Well, I'm not hearing Andy yet, right? And I haven't gotten pinged, so we're gonna skip forward to a different area. And obviously, he's in a strange point of his transition. He's on the bus. I'll just give you a quick update. He's on the bus, and he's moving out of his warehouse in Lubbock, and well, temporarily, and he's heading over to Ohio. And so we're going to have updates as that goes on or he arrives and whatnot. And we'll ask him what he's doing. He's doing some work for a friend of ours up there. And, yeah, that's going to be quite exciting. But we're going to move on as far as that
maybe,
goes.
Maybe you should have played the song The Magic Bus, Steve. But then that also brings up that maybe Into the Wild, where the guy found the bus out in the middle of Alaska and thought he was just great. And then he had a river right there and... He couldn't get back across it, so he starved to death. But, you know, I never saw the guy try to catch a fish, and he had a river right next to him that he couldn't cross, but he never tried to catch a damn fish to survive. This is what I'm talking about, going into things that you have no idea and the ability to survive in. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm not a city person. I don't like going into a big city because my city survival skills are not up to par with the people that live in the city. So I don't venture into cities. You put me out in the middle of a forest, I'll survive just damn fine. Throw me into the middle of a city, I probably won't last too long.
Yeah, I have too much to say to that. Right now I'm having to fight my city survival skills. They've collapsed our road for road construction, and as Alan calls them, and I guess I call them too, the Cityits and the Turons, they come over here every once in a while. I can tell who the Cityits are. You know, it's either that or some construction worker with his panties
I bet you're having a lot more wrecks on that side of town right now, aren't you, Steve? They closed down the lane, and there's still people doing 85 miles an hour in a 60-mile-an-hour zone and probably rear-ending the hell out of people.
I have not seen them, but I would imagine, you know, getting tailgated at 60 miles an hour while construction crews are on the right and the left for a place that, for the most part, is, decent towards people. It's like, wow, I happen to get way too excited. and to the point of road rage. And by the time I get done with my 6 mile excursion down the freeway, you know, I'm just going, I should call the, I should. And I'm like, what? You should call the company the guy's working for or owns, right? That's on his door, and say, why the heck were you on my butt so bad? And you know how dangerous. Oh, yeah, you should do that, Steve. Or you should call the sheriff and you say, you need to have more cops out there. Yeah, really? Oh, that's funny. Me calling the cops, right? Oh, yeah, you should, Steve. No, I don't want either outcome.
You want to get shot?
Do you want to get shot? That's a possibility, too. What did you shoot him for? Well, he was going 60 in the 60 zone while construction was going on. You know, and sometimes I drop down to 55, actually, you know, because the 55 feels a little bit safer when you only have one lane and then you got people, humans, they might be legal aliens on the right hand and the left hand side, because I know a lot of them don't speak English. Anyways, let's go back to Ohio, Alan. Are you ready?
Okay. I was there once when I was working for Goodyear, but, you know.
Okay.
Sorry. I'll go back.
You're supposed to say A-O, way to go. Damn it, Alan, didn't you get the script? Lauren, hello, good morning.
How are you doing? So, Steve, or Alan, well, both of you, the reason Andy's not calling is because he's sitting on the bus, but still, because yesterday that bus left 3 hours late, nice. And he missed his connection. So he had to sit in the bus station all night for 12 hours. And he just got back on the bus. His earbuds are dead. I called just to make sure he didn't miss the bus.
That's great.
But anyway, I was just going to give you the brief lowdown on what happened. And this is what I want. And I'm talking to patriots, conservatives, Christians, Republicans, all the people who listen and who are informed. But, you know, we can't get through to our fellow man, and we're just, you know, not sure what to do. This, I'm telling you why it's worth your trouble. This is how white people are going to get treated in this country. If you picture yourself as American Indians, that's going to be your treatment. So here's Andy at the station. Older guy, bad hips. He sees this homeless guy walking around. He's just confused. He's just talking. And he says, hey, man, you know, and he chats him up a bit. The guy sits down. They have a half an hour conversation. Turns out this Latino woman was listening to their conversation. So she moseys on over and says, well, I don't like what you're saying. And so he just kind of looked at her. He said, are you bowling up to me? And she's like, yeah, and I can take you. She grabs him by the hoodie and pulls him off balance, gets him on the ground, and starts punching him. So then he's like, okay, now we're going to go. And he's getting ready to let loose on this woman. And she jumps up and runs in the bus station. So he calls the police. Well, when the police came, a black cop and a white cop, you know what they did? They went and told him to sit down and shut up and went and talked to her. And he went to the bathroom when he came out trying to, you know, he told them what happened, but then they went and talked to her. When he came out of the bathroom, they said, well, you can wait outside. You have to wait outside. If you come in, we're just going to cancel your bus ticket. And you can't get on the bus. So you're a white guy, an older man in America, getting beat up by a brown-skinned woman who then, this is a la Democrat playbook, he hit me. You know, you're punching him in the head, you're biting him in the face, and then the camera sees him just push back to defend a little, like that man, the abortion clinic guy, defending his like little 11-year-old son. This disgusting man was up in his face, all in his face, and he pushed him back. This guy's getting sued. This is what it's going to look like for white America and for patriotic America, too. But it's harder. Yeah. See, I'm brown. I can blend. You know, I'll do a little I be, you be, we be, and I'll be fine. But what are you going to do about that white skin of yours? So what I'm telling you is you had better shut this border down. How are you going to do that? You have got to get the traitors, treasonous people exposed. The reason they have propaganda is to make sure we don't think the right thing. They know you would do the right thing if you had the right information. A computer input, the output is only as good as the input. If you've got the input information wrong,
you can't get a square block into a round hole. And that's what we're dealing with right now. And that's part of the reason that, that like Andy's going over there is because for a lot of things, you know, him and that other, homeless guy, right? So they're both sitting there talking. She don't like what he said, right? Because what they were talking was square block. What she wanted to hear was round hole. And that's it. Right. Hang on. We'll be right back. Republic of Texas Radio.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadreprecious metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
So here we fight all through the night.
All right. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio is where we left off. Andy was venturing from Texas to Ohio, and he was just beaten up by a Latino chick or lady or something, right? Of course, Andy is kind of a little bit broken. You know, that's when I've been a little bit worried about Andy, because since he did his floppy fish thing, his hips have gone kind of south, and it's hard for him to get up and whatnot. But he was at a bus station, and yeah, you can listen to the archive. I don't know. Lauren, my point when we left was that, man, we should seal the border. We should seal the border, right? Well, of course, both you and I agree that the politicians aren't going to sit there and do that. They don't care. And I agree with you on this other point, that the most help that you can be is to those around you. And that's kind of where you've been focusing, you know, this last year or so, that since you've been on RBN well, since you had the show on RBN, you know, you kept pointing local. And I love that about you. You know, and I see this as a continuance, and it's going to be interesting going forward. Ah, that's my bloviating.
Well, I'm just trying to get, especially white people, you still are the majority, but, I mean, just barely. You got to get married. You got to have children. You're being bred out. And besides that, you're being invaded. Now, here's the important part. If the propaganda was useless, they wouldn't do it. So they're trying to get you to feel helpless and hopeless. They're showing Biden shaking hands with the air. You're supposed to feel all demoralized. Oh, my America. I'm not proud of it. That's not America. You're America. Are you proud of what you do? You are what you do every day. What are you doing with your time? Okay? This is where we win. But I just thought that was important for people to kind of get a notion. The service sucks. Okay, this is Greyhound bus.
Yeah.
The service sucks. They weren't even offered a hotel room or a this or that. And I mean, I get it. But my whole point is, it's only going to get worse when they have digital money that they can say whether or not you can spend it and what you can spend it on. These people are power control crazy. They're not crazy. They're evil. And you can't live evil. They want to do what breaks things. We want to do what works. The battle is between exposing the truth, because all the people they've been brainwashing and walking off this plank haven't been able to see the truth. If they saw the truth, they'd think like us, but they didn't have access to it. So I'm going to just keep begging people, make up business cards that have Republic Broadcasting on it, a couple of your favorite shows, pass the word at Thanksgiving, at Christmas, even if you get in trouble. Even if they say this is a no religion, no politics family event, just say, you know what? We aren't even going to have any events if we keep this up. So if it means I'm going to get cut out of the family, just take your cut and go. You see what I mean? Because the discomfort is what makes people get up and maybe think about doing something else.
I hear about people, you know, getting invited to a party or this dinner or that dinner. It's like, I might get a call and I might get an invite, but I get basically invited not to attend almost, you know, because of my views and what I see and what I know is going on and what just keeps getting more and more confirmed. You know,
this is the battle. You need to go and put it in their faces. Rub their nose in it like a puppy in poo. Well, I mean, so they can learn a lesson or just ignore it. I mean, look where we are, though, and it's going to get real bad for you white people.
Ends up being true, you know what? They get mad at me. They are offended because I actually use my brain and not just engage in this digital, you know, nightmare that we're in. And when what I talk about becomes true, if anything, they get mad at me. And so I, you know, what's the point? You know, most of the time, every now and then, you might strike someone, and you can see a light bulb dim up, you know, just real dim, kind of like in a brownout, you know. And it's like, I get very few of these blanks where it's like, aha, you know. And someone comes to you and says, you were right, you know. Very, 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 very few.
Yeah, but any light dispels the darkness, and the infection of truth and light, it's contagious. The reason they don't have it in the propaganda media is because if you saw it, it would change what you did. Your behavior is, in the end, what they want to control, because your energy is what they're harvesting. So if you are not available to perform for them because you understand the truth, and you no longer will allow them to access your children and harvest them in school, recruit them, get their smartest, your best and your brightest, and use them to destroy your own country, you know, you'll stop giving them your money and you'll invest in your local whatever, plumber, electrician, whatever thing, skills that you have, and you'll keep it local. You won't put it in stocks where you're losing your ass right now, where you're losing your rear end right now. That's what I'm saying. It's going to take us behaving differently. And if you have to get cut off, look, I got disinherited. My husband left me. My eldest son won't talk to me. But, hey, they're all coming around now. But it's been
Thanks
a long...
Thanks for the call, Lauren.
20
Thanks
years.
For the call.
Okay, God
We're
bless.
We're going to hit the
Thank
break.
Thank you.
Yep. We'll talk to you soon. Republic of Texas Radio.
I want the truth. You handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
So here we fight all through the night.
All right. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. I'm Steve O'Brien. Alan Crutcher is, you know, along with me. He's not me. He's Alan, right? I guess I was just trying to, you know, say our names more during the show. Ferran Shope once told me, he's like, well, who is that person that's talking right now? He says, well, they don't say their names enough. And today the conversation went something like that. And it was quite interesting. So I'm trying to incorporate it without sounding weird, but I do sound weird. Anyways, we were talking about Andy Wilson. Right, Andy from Texas and his transit from Texas to Ohio and what the hell that's all about. But we'll talk about that more next week, most likely. Right, Lauren called up for a little bit. I'd like to say one thing. I've never experienced a luxury bus ride. They've always been hostile and dirty and uncomfortable, and I don't think that ever occurred in history. Alan, do you believe so?
I was going to break in here because, you know, I can remember when I was like five the first time that I rode on a Greyhound bus from San Angelo, Texas to Fredericksburg here to come and stay on my uncle's place, you know, for, you know, a few weeks, you know, on his ranch. At that point, I couldn't be much help to him. But, you know, I would come out, and my parents would put me on a Greyhound bus at the station, and I'd crawl on there, with my fishing pole in one hand and my Daisy Cub BB gun in the other hand. And the bus driver would, you know, tell my parents, it's like, yeah, I'll keep an eye on them. You know, we only make like one stop in like Mason or somewhere like that, you know. It's a, 3.5 hour bus ride. You know, that it wasn't much, 3.5, 4 hour bus ride. But at that point in time, it was still just normal people just traveling from here to there. You know, I've heard people who've ridden Greyhounds and they say now, if you get on a Greyhound bus, you better speak Spanish because there's not going to be anyone else. And unless you're brown, you're going to feel like, you know, very out of place. I've known several people who've ridden buses, this has been the past 15 years, 20 years, you know, since this invasion really kicked into high gear. But when I was young, my parents thought it was nothing. I had a fishing pole in one hand and a BB gun in the other hand. Someone wants to screw with me, they're going to get shot. And if nothing else, I had a pocket knife in my pocket, you know. I was not helpless. But I was also not alone. People were, back at that point, were still fairly decent. And no one screwed with me. I got to Fredericksburg, got off the bus. My aunt and uncle were waiting for me. Got on the bus, went back to San Angelo, you know. Never had a problem. You know, people were a lot more decent back then.
I guess
society
so.
Has changed a lot.
My perception comes from riding buses in the 90s.
San Angelo had a public bus system. We would get on the bus, you know, in front of our house out here. It ran down the street.
You go out and you
drop your nickel or your dime into the little slot, and we'd go downtown to a shopping center or something, and we'd walk around in the stores. We'd get back on the bus and come home. No, you know, even had to change buses, you know, at one point, get from one bus to another bus, you know, to get where we were going. Didn't have a problem.
Okay, that existed. There was a gentler time. I'm going to go ahead and concede that point. I just never seen it. You know, I've seen the world be hostile, and I kind of overlay that onto the bus system. But it is an adventure, for sure. I'm just glad that Andy didn't end up in jail halfway down, you know, his route to everything.
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday, and I said, Andy, did you learn from this experience? Never call the cops, especially if you're the white dude, because
you call the cops,
end up
that's
being
right.
the one that gets shot or goes to jail. They were actually questioning him and were almost getting ready to take him downtown or something. And he's like, I didn't do anything. And it's like, you know, Andy, the cops are not your friends.
Ooh. Okay, 512-248-8252. Let's go to the phones right now. We've got Sherry in Kansas. Hello, Sherry. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay. When Alan just talked about his folks putting him on a bus when he was 5 years old, man, you couldn't do that today. I did practically the same thing, probably worse. I put my 8-year-old son on a plane to go somewhere, and he was meeting his dad, you know, at the other end. But of course, I made sure they were gonna, you know. But it was I thought, what was I thinking? You know now. Mm. Did you hear last night on?
Sherry, in today's world, those kids would end up on Epstein Island.
Yeah, did you hear last night on Ingrid Castle's show? She had Deborah,
I forgot
her name. Karen Tostada.
Yeah, yeah.
And she gave she said every 90 seconds a child goes missing in the country now.
Mm. And they don't, but they don't put them on milk cartons anymore. As little good as that did, now they just put them up on the internet somewhere. Whatever comes of it, nothing. Those children disappear, and it happens. You know, in the big cities, in the big metropolises, where they're just, you know, you got 1.5 million people in a city. It's like, you know, what's one child missing? You know, that's just that's That's not even a, you know, a statistic. That's just a tragedy. But it's not known about.
Well, well, you know,
are strong.
My little
are strong. Go ahead. Sorry.
My little brothers used to throw papers, and to do that, you know, they got to get up at like 3 o'clock in the morning to go down and get their papers and stuff. And years later, I read a book by. I can't even think of her name right now, but she was in Iowa, and her son was, in 1982, her son was, her 12-year-old son went missing. He was a paper boy, and he was kidnapped off the street in, I think, West Plains, Des Moines. And that was about the time frame that, and before that, that my brothers were throwing papers. Now, it was in a smaller town, but you know, that stuff was going on back then. And when I thought about it, I thought, sheesh, you know, it's just,
well, you know Sherry, you know, when I was 13, you know, in Arkansas, it was, you know, my father bought us a motorcycle, and in Arkansas, when you were 13, you could get a driver's license when you were 13 to ride a motorcycle up to, I believe it was like 125 cc's. You know, I had a Suzuki 100. Me and my brother did. And I had an afternoon paper route. After school, I would go and I would wrap my papers up, and I would go and I'd deliver the afternoon paper. And I delivered this afternoon paper down to my paper route was in the bad, if you want to call it the bad part of town, the poor part of town. I delivered the shotgun shacks, you know, with big pink Cadillacs with big white wall tires on them, you know, back in the 70s. You know, literally, the, you know, the pink Cadillac with the big white wall tires, you know, little kids out in the yard with paper towels on for diapers, literally. And, you know, I never had a problem with those people because I never presented myself as some snooty white boy. You know, I'd ride down, and I almost threw the paper right up on their front door, or sometimes they'd be out in the yard, and they'd see me coming. And they'd walk out, you know, to the street, and I'd ride by them on a motorcycle, reach back, grab a paper, and hand it to them. You know, they'd take me and they'd swat me on the helmet, but it wasn't like an attack. It was because, you know, because I just didn't show fear, I guess. I didn't act any way different. I didn't act down to them. And when I went to collect for the paper, you know, a lot of my collections, it was like, well, you know, I can't pay you right now. I've got to wait for my check to come in. So, you know, I would pay my paper bill because I was responsible for the paper, whether I collected the money or not, you know. So I would pay the bill, and then I would have to go back, you know, 4 or 5 days later, and after their check came in, and they would hand me the money, and they would generally give me a small tip, you know, because I was responsible. I threw the paper at, they didn't have to look in the bushes. It was right outside their front step, you know, right outside their
it's
door.
It's almost like you're talking about an alternate reality, Alan.
I know,
it's just
a different world.
It's weird, you know.
Well, and yeah, that was the other thing. You had to go collect.
Yes.
Right.
And nowadays, the economy, you know, it wasn't all that long after that. And it was when they started letting more and more illegal immigrants or aliens come in that, you know, all the jobs that teenagers used to get. You know, because I started earning money when...
They don't want them now. They want to play video games.
Well, I started earning money when I was 12 years old because I was from a real big family.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
When I was 12 years old, I was sitting on a John Deere 720 tractor. They called it the Poppin' Johnny because it was a two-cylinder diesel tractor with a hand clutch and a pony motor, a little gasoline motor to start this big diesel engine. And when I was 12 years old, I was sitting on a tractor, you know, doing really dangerous stuff, you know.
Yeah, I had a friend whose father died
10 hours a day
from a tractor accident. You know, because you're out there by yourself.
Different world.
You hit
different
a hole, and that thing tips over on you. You're a dead man sometimes.
I hear you, but these kids that are growing up nowadays, there's a lot of problems, right? And a lot of problems is our reality around us. Is not conducive to that kind of stuff. You know, Alan, you were running a tractor when you were 12 hours a day. Got it, right? That's because you didn't have video games or internet to keep you involved. You didn't have Tikitaka or whatever the hell that they're watching nowadays, right? You know, they're poor bastards, right? Or I don't know if bastards is the right word, but poor kids. You know, they're submersed into this stuff and they can't get free like you were free. Because you got off that tractor once in a while and you went and had fun. They're subjected to it. Their parents think it's okay. You know, everything's okay, right? We're going to be okay, right? That's the key line. It's going to be okay, right? They're going to give me more free money. They're going to give me more free food. It's going to be okay. You know, but they don't get logic. I don't know. And then I get called a pessimist.
Well, you know,
I like it.
This was also before, you know, I guess that was about the time that this idea started coming into parents' heads. Like, I don't want my child to have to work as hard as I did, so I'm going to send him to college. And, you know, what do people do nowadays, you know, when everyone works in IT and they don't actually produce anything? They sit in a cubicle in air conditioning, you know, under fluorescent lights. And it's like, do they still say, it's like, I don't want my child to have to work as hard as I did? What in the hell is this child going to do? Sit in a bubble of green liquid and feed the system? I mean, the matrix? Yeah. I mean, how much more useless can people get?
Well, and yeah, I like to point out the things that change the physiology of children, starting with the millennials. You know, we had people start using sonograms a lot, and they're, you know, selling the sonogram, the pediatricians selling the sonograms to the mothers. And they know those things are dangerous. And then they started the
Dr. Wynn Parker, bioaccumulation. Simply because it's non-ionizing does not mean it's not harmful.
Right. You know, and then the GMOs came in the 90s. And then they started back in 91, they started giving 89 actually, they started giving a heck of a lot more vaccines. And then the cell phones came in the 90s too. You know?
Yeah. There's a lot of things that have destroyed our world. And a lot of them is propaganda based.
Okay. Anyway, guys, one thing I wanted to add, you know, it was something you were talking about at the start of the show, you know, on this satellite, the TBN station has this positive movie channel, and the way they pay for it is running a lot of ads. Well, one thing that just drives me crazy, and they're aiming it towards the younger people, like the millennials and the, you know, is this ad on, you know, investing in the stock market. And
go ahead.
Oh, that just drives me crazy because they're pumping and dumping the stock market.
You're talking about like the Acorns thing.
Yes.
And the one that really bugs me is the green light, where it's like, you know, when your child finishes a chore, you know, they'll alert green light, and they get $5 in their account, you know? It's like, so.
Yeah. And they should. This is a Christian radio station, and they're pushing that stuff, or a Christian TV station.
I guess they had a different perspective of, you know, controlled slavery. But
anyway, that's all I had, guys.
Something else, Sherry. Light blue and orange.
Bye.
Every one of those commercials is light blue and orange.
Oh, I never noticed that.
All right. Good deal. Bye. Let's go Chance in West Virginia. Let's see how he's doing today. Good to hear from you, Chance. Welcome.
How are you? Can you hear me?
Howdy, my friend.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we can.
You brought back memories for me when you mentioned, I think it was Alan, being on the Greyhound bus with so many different people. I remember, I haven't had this feeling in a long time, thank God. But when I was born and raised up in the Northeast, right across the river from Manhattan, right? And I've noticed, I'd say in the late 70s, things began to change. And when they did change, living there, I felt like, do I belong here? Where the hell do I fit in? Because there were so many illegal aliens, for lack of a better word, and they all had their own little cliques. And every time you left your front door and went out, you felt isolated. And I'm telling you, I've got nothing against people who come to this country if they're friendly, and I don't care what nationality they are, but I've noticed they were all cliquish. And when you go into a store and you ask, where is the toilet paper, and they hand you a tomato, you know, and things like this go on over and over and over, it's hard to, you feel so isolated in a land where you belong. And, you know, since I've moved here about, I don't know, 14 years ago, I haven't had that feeling yet. So do you see what I'm saying, guys?
Yes, yes, my friend. We were advertised as the melting pot. Come to America, be an American, you know, keep your culture, but become an American, you know. And then it's all bastardized and perverted. Now,
no, Alan, no, Alan.
They get every one of these special cliques, you know. It's like, you know, you know, well, it's kind of like, you know, a Chinatown and this and that and Koreatown and Vietnamtown and Fort Smith, you know, after the Vietnamese came in. Yes.
Alan, see. You know,
we're supposed to be this melting pot, but we're isolated, you know.
Melting pot my ass. Let me tell you, if everybody tried to fit in and speak English and got along together, that'd be one thing. But like I said, every time you leave your front door, you feel isolated. Everybody was so cliquish. I haven't, like I said, since I moved to West Virginia, I haven't felt that feeling once. As a matter of fact, I'm not in the country, but I look forward to going into town because people aren't like that here. But up in the Northeast, I don't miss it one bit. As a matter of fact, the only thing I miss up in the Northeast was the food, come to think of it. That's it. Nothing else. Absolutely nothing else. And it seemed to me, the people who had more money back then, they all moved to the suburbs, and they kept moving further and further away, including myself. I moved further and further south, and that didn't even do the trick, because I wound up with the same crap when I moved to the county south of me up in the north. And I still remember those feelings. This melting pot nonsense when they say this. I don't know where they come up with this melting pot. It's not a melting pot. It's not like when the Europeans came from all the countries in Europe. That was a melting pot. Even if they didn't speak English, they made you feel welcome when they tried and they smiled. But then I've noticed when it changed, it was a freaking nightmare living up in the Northeast. And I would assume it's like that in every city. I wish other people would call in from these cities. It became...
you know?
Yeah, it's such an uncommon
culture, but the hostility wasn't there. It's hostile.
Exactly. See, now I don't mind differences in culture if you try to get along, but I didn't see that happening, and I haven't felt that feeling once since I left New Jersey here. I haven't felt that feeling once, but it brings back memories when you mentioned that, and it was, oh, wow, extremely uncomfortable feeling. Even if you tried to get along, they didn't want nothing to do with you. Can you imagine? And you're born and raised here? I says, this shit is not, excuse my language, is not for me. This is not for me. I can't take this, man. If I feel uncomfortable, I get up and leave. That's the kind of person I am. I don't stick around. And like I said, 14 years here in West Virginia, I hadn't felt that way once in all these years.
Hmm.
And the way they have it,
I kind of feel weird now. Chance, it's like if I go into town, it's like I almost think that I almost need to speak Valley Girl or something, because it's changed from the a quaint German American community that was always friendly. That's why everyone started moving here, because it was a quaint, friendly little community.
But you know, Alan, in all reality, there's a lot of people around here that feel exactly like you, and I know where they are. They hide in the morning time in certain coffee spots and things, and they're older Germans.
When you first got here, yeah. Steve Fredericksburg was basically still Fredericksburg. It had already begun to change.
It was different. It was a hell of a lot different. And now, like you say, it's Valley Girl. And I don't know what to do with it. But I don't have to do anything with it.
Our county seat Our county seat is just like Fredericksburg, exactly. As a matter of fact, it was named America's coolest small town for a couple of years.
Oh, poor guy. And, that sucks.
Yeah, but it's the only difference is they're just a little more liberal-minded. That's all. They're friendly, see, but it's just a little liberal-minded. That's why us folks who live outside of the county seat, we don't care for it too much because of the liberal attitude, see? But it's a quaint little mm-hmm. town. When you go there, they don't make you feel uncomfortable. It's just a difference in political philosophy, I guess. But other than that, it's a quaint, beautiful little town. But unfortunately, they get in your business too much, the local government there. You know, they tell you what color you can paint your house, all this kind of crap,
business.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the only difference. And that's minor compared to what I went through up in the New York area. My God, the New York area was a nightmare. I mean, chances are...
My friend, see, you know, this is organizations like ICLEI, the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives, coming in. This is the American Planning Association coming in. It's the infiltration of every aspect of, if you want to call it, your governmental structure. You know, you might think it's like, oh, well, yeah, my cousin's, you know, one of the county commissioners, and he's a good guy. But, you know, that guy, they're on those boards, and they are Delphi'd. They are made to feel important, even if, you know, the mind manipulation is so easy for them, you know. And it's weird. These people might even think they're doing good, but they have to go along with policy, otherwise they'd lose their position. So they go along with policy. They don't think they're doing anything bad, but every little tiny bit of you know, a new ordinance that's enacted, or a new this, or a new that, every little bit of that is just like a damn boa constrictor. Every time, you know, you've got you in your coils, every time you, like, have to let a breath out to get a fresh breath, it squeezes a little tighter. You still get a little bit of air, but then you have to eventually breathe again, and every time you let a breath out, it squeezes a little tighter, and you can't get quite as much breath.
Well, see, our county seat, I told you about, it's a quaint little town, really nice. It's safe, it's quaint, it's very pretty. But I think it was about 10 years ago, they made same-sex marriage illegal there at the city hall. Can you imagine? So people where I live, which is a town or two over, 7-8 miles outside of it, We don't particularly care for that town. Like I said, it's a beautiful little town. It's like Fredericksburg. It's really nice. But like I said, it's only a difference of political opinion. When you go there, the people are friendly. So there's no comparison to these cities nowadays. And I'm born and raised in a city of 150,000 alone, just in the city itself. And I can't step foot in the damn city no more. I just can't. Our county seat is only, I think, three or four.
Let me tell you something in my local town here. Theo Weinheimer's gun shop, he was a gunsmith. Had the store, it was real close to Dooley's down there on Main Street, Steve. And this little shop was like 10 foot, 15 foot wide. By, you know, 60 foot deep, you know, it was just a little storefront. We know it had a second floor, but this was the old Weinheimer's gun shop. The property taxes alone on that little tiny space is probably $80,000 a year now, and the rent, I couldn't even begin to tell you what the rent per month is on it. And it all comes crashing down.
So we'll be right back, Republic of Texas Radio.
The tree of life is us, my friends. Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.